when semiconductor chips can drive childcare? I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. Companies that want some of the billions of dollars in government money to bring the manufacturing of semiconductor chips back to America will have to provide childcare to workers. That and other conditions on the federal money are being announced. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Last summer, Congress passed the CHIPS and Science Act, which provides $39 billion to build new chip manufacturing facilities in the U.S. And now the Biden administration has laid out a list of requirements while opening up the application process, which starts today. The list includes many socioeconomic priorities for the Biden administration. For instance, companies must make an effort to hire women in construction jobs, to create opportunities for people of color, veterans, and residents of rural communities. For companies seeking more than $150 million in funding, they must submit a plan to provide childcare access for workers. The Commerce Department will also give priority to companies which commit to refraining from stock buybacks. And some companies will be required to share a portion of their profits if they exceed projections. President Biden has publicly criticized companies that engage in stock buybacks, saying they should reinvest their profits instead. The Commerce Department estimates the new plants will employ 90,000 workers and require more than 100,000 construction workers. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Orders for expensive, long-lasting things fell in January. That's overall, but a chunk of that were orders for airplanes. And when you set those aside, the amount of money spent for these durable goods went up. One reason, those goods may have gotten more expensive, which pushes up the number, right? But there are also signs businesses are now investing more in equipment that includes computers. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
The Commerce Department says manufacturers spent more on computers and other electronics in January than they did in December. That also includes electronic components for equipment and machinery. That's a sign that many manufacturers are growing and need to meet demand. Research from Gartner found that consumer demand for computers has fallen over the last year, in part because many people upgraded early in the pandemic, and now they have what they need. But business spending on computers could pick up. That's because some companies are trying to make up for labor shortages and are investing more in automation, which can require new hardware. And analysts I spoke with said many of the work computers we've been using during the pandemic will need replacing soon. That's because work devices tend to have a shorter lifespan than personal ones, and because we're putting a lot more strain on them, since many of us are working longer hours. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Starbucks shareholders have a chance to vote yes or no on commissioning an outside review of the coffee chain's labor policies. Institutional Shareholders Services makes recommendations to shareholders on proxy votes, and yesterday released its recommendation, vote yes to the independent review. Employees at 280 of the 9,000 Starbucks locations in the U.S. have voted to unionize. The Starbucks shareholder meeting is on March 23rd. One way to suck climate-altering excess carbon dioxide from the air is to plant trees, which eat CO2 for a living. Any green tree does this, but some trees are better at this than others. A story now on a biotech company called Living Carbon that is planting genetically modified poplars in Georgia to experiment with what could become a larger-scale approach to curbing climate change. Science journalist Gabriel Popkin wrote about this in the New York Times. He spoke with my Marketplace colleague, Sabri Benishore.
So first off, what is the science behind these trees?
You might be surprised to learn that photosynthesis is a pretty inefficient process. And so the scientists at this company, Living Carbon, did, they actually borrowed a sort of genetic hack from another scientist at the University of Illinois. That scientist had made tobacco plants more efficient at photosynthesizing. The Living Carbon scientists pretty much took the same idea and put it into a tree.
How much of a dent could they put in the world's carbon emissions?
The company has reported on about 5 months of growth in a greenhouse where their genetically engineered trees, some of them grew up to 50% faster than non-engineered trees. Most scientists, they would really want to see a field trial where you plant the trees out in the open, grow them for several years, and then come back and measure them. And there is a field trial, but no data has been reported from that trial. So I think at this point, we really can't say how much, if any, carbon dioxide these trees will be able to draw down from the atmosphere.
You know, obviously there's a concern about engineered genes getting out into the world. What's the risk in this situation?
You know, the company has some arguments that the risk is low. That said, I will say there is at least one environmental group that has expressed concern about they could be grown in big sort of plantations that displace more natural forests of native species.
The U.S. seems to have a somewhat conflicted relationship with genetically modified organisms. Is the appetite for genetically modified plants changing, do you think?
Public acceptance of genetically modified organisms has almost certainly gone up. You know, over time, genetically modified crops have made their way into a lot of our food. We've all been eating it for decades. We're obviously not all getting horribly sick. So I think there's maybe a recognition that some of the fears around GMOs have not come to pass.
This company has raised $36 million. I just wonder what the business model is. Is this a climate change thing or is this a timber industry improvement thing?
You know, I think it's both. One, you can sell trees to people who plant trees. And two, they hope to make money off of carbon offsets. In other words, other entities would potentially pay for the carbon that's being sequestered. You're probably well aware that these carbon offsets have come under a lot of criticism lately. I don't know if that's going to pan out or not, but I think that that's certainly part of the company's thinking.
Gabriel Popkin is a journalist who focuses on science and the environment. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri. It's been great talking with you.
Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.